You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Jordan Bell. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Lee Cunningham, the Assistant District Attorney of San Luis Obispo County, Debbie Vallalee, Director of the Victim Witness Unit, and Rebecca Turner, Director of Mountain Brook Abolitionists. Welcome to KCBX. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So today we'd like to talk about human trafficking in San Luis Obispo County and kind of the initiatives all of you are taking to combat this issue. For those who don't know about what human trafficking may be, can you provide us with a definition for that?
Sure. Let me use the Attorney General's definition. They describe it as a modern form of slavery. It involves controlling a person through force, fraud, or coercion to exploit the victim for forced labor, sexual exploitation, or both. And the estimation is that there are approximately 20.9 million human trafficking victims worldwide at any given time.
Mm-hmm. And what are the state of things in San Luis Obispo County in terms of human trafficking and the Human Trafficking Task Force?
Sure. Ours is not the first human trafficking task force. There's a number of them throughout the state. I think we're discovering more and more that it's a bigger problem than we were aware of. And we're not just talking about the sex trade. We're also talking about forced labor, for example. But we have had a number of sex trade cases in our county. Douglas Stevens received a 3-year prison term last September for pimping. We have the Richard Brooks case, which is still pending. Federally, we had the Solis and Andrade case. They've been indicted for human trafficking. We had the Maximino and Melinda Morales case. That occurred in this county. That's being prosecuted or was prosecuted federally as well. So we know that we have an issue. We know that we want to get out in front of it, and we want to develop a coordinated response and make sure we're doing the best we can, not just law enforcement, but also with respect to community organizations as well. Mm-hmm. Make sure we're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm. And the FBI identified California as a primary place for human trafficking, and mm-hmm. particularly in San Luis Obispo, between Los Angeles and San Francisco. Can you talk about that being kind of a spot for this to be happening?
Sure. Most of the cases I mentioned, some of them the actual traffickers were from Bakersfield or Fresno, for example. But our county is uniquely situated. We're on the corridor, 101 corridor. We have a lot of tourism. Wherever you have tourism, you have the risk of human trafficking. We also have a lot of ag labor. You know, we have the domestic labor situation. It's a prime target for all of those.
Debbie, tell us about your involvement getting programs started here to combat human trafficking.
It started last summer, maybe more closer to a year ago. We were invited to participate in the Santa Barbara County Human Trafficking Task Force. They have a tri-county effort. And in attending those meetings, that's when I realized that this might be something that we should focus here on our county. We still participate with Santa Barbara County, tri-county effort, but we really needed to identify what our resources are in order to combat human trafficking. And when I say resources, what we can do to respond to victims' needs and to train law enforcement. Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca, what do you and your organization do?
So my involvement is a couple years ago, we had a guest speaker at our church that talked about human trafficking. And so about 15 of us came together to learn more and see what we could do. So we've been meeting once a month, twice a month actually, since then. And we started with awareness events, and we're working into facilitating community education through documentary screenings and conferences. And then we also have a kind of a grassroots network of people that are willing to donate certain items to possibly serve survivors. So not all of us are trained or equipped to actually, you know, respond to survivors in a professional way. But everybody has time or money that they can donate. And so that's where we're at right now.
Okay. And in terms of what the public can do, what their role can be in helping combat human trafficking.
I think Rebecca's what she had just said is a great example. Education is really important, letting the community be aware. Also, from a community standpoint, I think mentoring youth, becoming a foster parent, is also something that if someone's interested in trying to do what they can do to support the victim's needs, I think those are. But awareness is super important. One of the cases that Lee had mentioned came about, it was a multi-agency effort, but it was because a concerned citizen came forward and reported it to local law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, learning the signs and learning how to report would be very important. And Polaris Project is a great organization. They host the National Resource Hotline, and so I would suggest that people can start there as far as learning the identifying factors and how to report. And then another thing, so yes, awareness and mentoring is very important. Another thing people can do, I didn't really realize it, but my purchases were contributing to slavery because of what I was eating, the chocolate I was eating or coffee I was drinking, the clothes I'm wearing. So we can really make a big difference in creating a demand for ethically sourced products here on the Central Coast. So we aim to celebrate those businesses that are providing those products.
In terms of signs and symptoms in which citizens can be aware of, what would be an example of that, like that anyone may just not know?
Well, I think in terms of the sex trade, if you're aware of an at-risk teen, for example, who maybe has moved out of the home, is homeless or couch surfing, they might be at risk. Doesn't mean they're going to get involved, but it should make your antenna go up. In terms of forced labor, the case that Debbie and I talked about, I believe it was a nursing home where there were just little things that tipped a citizen off that these people were not paid workers. It was slave labor. So that was an alert person who noticed just little things that built. So I think being aware of your surroundings and people you're interacting with, it never hurts to bring it to the attention of somebody so that it can be investigated. Hopefully, ideally, the investigation will turn out as nothing, but investigation's the first step.
The last case you mentioned was in a nursing home where finally someone noticed that people may not be receiving wages for their work. Do a lot of these cases come out of situations like this where I guess it'd be easy to fly under the radar?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't give you a percentage. But I think wherever you have migrant labor, where there's a large percentage of foreign nationals, that's sort of a target area for forced labor. And so you want to be kind of aware. It doesn't mean every migrant labor situation is a forced labor situation, but it would be one that you would look at.
Okay.
I was going to say, yeah, one of the key factors there would be the fact that they, I believe, were Filipino nationals, and so English possibly wasn't their, they possibly weren't strong in English, and that is a key vulnerability factor for traffickers. They try to intimidate them, and, you know, they'll tell them they'll be deported if they try and talk to someone about it.
Right. Vulnerable situations for people.
Yeah.
Okay. And Rebecca, you were talking about in terms of consumption and things that we wear or use or eat that we don't necessarily think about. Can you give me an example of those things that, you know, don't necessarily cross our minds every day that might be contributing to a cause that is not something people want to be contributing towards?
Yeah, I am still learning. Two of the main ones that everybody can start with and that would make a huge difference are chocolate and coffee. So looking for, with coffee, you want to look for fair trade certified. That's a step in the right direction. And then sometimes locally, we're lucky, we have several coffee shops that they don't supply fair trade, but they actually have direct relationships with co-ops in other countries. And so knowing where you're buying your coffee from and having a relationship with them is a great place. So organic is another keyword. And direct trade. So we have Kreuzberg, Sally Lou's, I'm trying to think, Belo Mundo. There's a plethora of coffee shops. Chocolate is the other one. And we recently screened a documentary called The Dark Side of Chocolate, which was really devastating because I had no idea how many corporations were complicit in allowing child labor to exist to kind of bring the market price down for chocolate. So almost all of the major corporations are complicit. So a local coffee shop is Mama Ganache, and we would really encourage everybody to celebrate them and purchase from there.
And Lee, can you tell me more about Senate Bill 1193?
Sure. SB 1193 was actually effective in April of 2013. It requires certain businesses to post a public notice, making people aware of the human trafficking issue and giving them information about where they can report it. The Attorney General on the Department of Justice website has a sample poster. I brought one of those for you to see.
Okay.
We have identified through Debbie's hard work largely. We've identified those businesses that are subject to the posting requirements. There'll be a letter going out to them soon telling them about the responsibility to post the notice. And then we're working with Cal Poly to actually have the notices, the posters prepared. So that there'll be hopefully a full compliance in the near future.
Mm-hmm. And I see listed on here, these are, it says whether it's commercial sex, housework, farm work, construction, factory, retail, restaurant work, or other activity. These are all places that people could potentially be vulnerable in.
That's true. It's when you look at the businesses that are required to post, they're places where you might expect to see that kind of poster. On sale, general public licensees under the Alcoholic Beverage Control, adult or sexually oriented businesses, airports, rail stations. What else is on here? Urgent care centers, acute care hospitals, farm labor contractors, recruitment centers, roadside rest areas, massage services, and truck stops.
Okay.
You'll find it interesting, though, that motels and hotels are not listed as being mandatory to post these notices.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. But our district attorney, Dan Dow, has been working with the local Chamber of Commerce and the Hospitality Association. So they've agreed to work with us and having them posted.
In terms of educating the public, can you explain to me, like, you do movie showings, you do, like, conferences? What kind of happens to those? And who gets invited to those things, and how do you try to make sure the word gets out?
Yeah, we have, so once a month we're hosting a documentary screening up at Mountain Brook Church the first Wednesday of each month from 7 to 9. And to those we invite, we're working on getting better at advertising. But we try to invite anybody from our network, anybody that's attended a past event. And then we do hold, at the moment, an annual conference, and it just happened this past weekend, titled the Justice Summit. And so for that, we invited everybody, the task force, the multiple task forces, and our network. We invited churches, all service providers. We had a press release. So I think that as this topic comes to the forefront and gets in the news more, there will be more interest in attending events like this. So we hope to see more people in the future. And we also we encourage everybody to go out and do awareness on their own if they would like to. So you could, you could tell your classroom about human trafficking. You could speak to your professional group about it. And we try to host resources on our website that people could use, like videos and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. There's also information available. Both the FBI and the California Attorney General maintain websites. I recommend the Attorney General's website, and it has a number of links, and you can go there if you're interested in statistical information or links to different places where you can learn more and help.
In California, is there a way of knowing types of human trafficking that may be more prevalent, whether it's sex or forced labor?
I don't have a breakdown for California. Mm-hmm. I have that worldwide breakdown. That 20.9 million figure, they estimate, includes 14.2 million victims of labor exploitation, 4.5 million victims of sexual exploitation, and 2.2 million victims of state-imposed forced labor worldwide.
One thing brought up this last weekend at the conference that I wasn't able to articulate previously is this: the assumption that labor and sex trafficking are separate sometimes, and I always am racking my mind trying to get the latest statistic, you know, what it looks like. But they told us that basically even in labor trafficking in the agricultural, you know, industry, there is a lot of sexual abuse and sexual exploitation in that. So even if the primary purpose was labor, they are still exploiting the women often, and men too, and children in those situations for sexual exploitation. And then also, if there is a woman being sexually exploited by a pimp or possibly as a forced marriage, often in those situations she'll be forced to do housework or to do labor. So it's really hard to come up with those exact numbers.
Mm-hmm. As far as children go, are there a lot of children that are forced into human trafficking compared to adults? Is that something that we see in California, or do we see mainly adults because of the labor component?
Children, it's huge. Our Department of Social Services has a great, very involved program, the Commercial Sexual Exploitation of Children. It focuses on our runaway youth. The majority of, not the majority, but a great number of the children that are runaways or in foster care do fall victim. I think the number was as high as 84%. So children that are already on their radar that are falling prey to human traffickers.
Mm-hmm. And this is why being a foster parent or fostering children for
or mentoring. Or
mentoring mm-hmm. can come into play.
Yes.
Yeah, they say the number one factor for women, interviewing women who have been sexually exploited and are in the commercial sex industry, one of the number one factor was child sexual abuse, you know, early on, and then you enter into, so traffickers are preying on that. So yeah, being part of the solution and being a mentor would be hugely helpful.
Mm-hmm. Going into 2015, what are some things that the county is going to be doing to contribute to the human trafficking task force?
Well, we're hoping to, first of all, raise human awareness, and thank you for inviting us to help do that.
Absolutely.
Today. our mission statement is to prevent and combat human trafficking through education, to protect and assist victims through identification, and to promote cooperation among law enforcement and community through allocation of resources. So we'll be we have a protocol committee that works on our goals, constantly redefining our goals. We have an education and outreach committee. They took the lead in the poster compliance, SB 1193 compliance. And we have a funding and data collection committee that is looking at sources of funding. There's grant monies available to move forward, and also to keep accurate records so that we can make the public aware of what we're doing. Most of us on the task force are public servants, not all, but we want the public to know that we're working and the nature and extent of the problem as we go forward. Mm-hmm. It's not like other crime that's in your face. You have to look for it. It's mm-hmm. there, but it's not like identifying a robbery victim.
Right, right. And a good way to become more educated about this would be going to see a screening.
And that's one way, yes. Mm-hmm. And then how we started, I said, was just a group of us came together to kind of read together, watch films together. So as we would love to invite the entire community to any of our events, but we also want to encourage and empower people to hold their own events, learn for themselves, and really take it as far as they can. It's a big problem and the needs are many.
Mm-hmm. The victim witness advocates also will be doing some outreach. We're going to be reaching out to the schools. We actually right now currently do that on domestic violence issues. So this would be a natural transition to also then introduce the topic of human trafficking.
Right. And now, are there any websites or phone numbers that can help people seeking help?
We have the National Human Trafficking Hotline, and that number is 1-888-373-7888. Also, you know, report anything to local law enforcement, of course, but Crime Stoppers. We have a local Crime Stoppers, and their phone number is 549-STOP. You could also text them at Slow Tips plus your message, which then to Crimes 274-637 to report any suspicious activity. Awesome. Or if someone needs help. All those organizations are available for someone who needs help.
So a few of the identifying factors you could look for is if you're in either a massage parlor or a restaurant, and if someone mentions that they work every day or they're not getting paid, mm-hmm. or if someone doesn't have control of their documents or seems very shy when if they're very shy or looking over to see how they're supposed to answer, those are kind of indicating factors. And very important, if there's any signs of living in those business quarters, you know, mm-hmm. like a bed or that, as well as barred windows or a video camera outside of the building. Those would be a few key factors.
Some other victim questions, you know, just flat out, do you need help? Never judge. Also, who takes care of you? How do you get food or medical? Where do you sleep? Do you go to school? So if you see a child that looks like they're on the streets and are able to have that mentoring moment, ask them some of those questions. Mm-hmm. One of the things that stands out on this human trafficking, and I know that people look at it like, why here? You know, mm-hmm. this is like the happiest place yeah. on earth and human trafficking. I think it's important. I think that 30 years ago, domestic violence, nobody spoke of domestic violence. It was something that was kept behind closed doors. And I see human trafficking being somewhere right now where domestic violence was 30 years ago. Today, domestic violence is everyone's speaking out against it. It's in the media, and celebrities are speaking up against it. We see sports associations involved. Human trafficking, that's where it is today, where it was for domestic violence 30 years ago. So even though it's brand new and a little surprising to even hear about it being mentioned in our county, it does exist here. It's just that it's being hidden and it's secretive.
I've been joined today by Rebecca Turner, Debbie Vallalee, and Lee Cunningham, all working to combat human trafficking in San Luis Obispo County. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
For Issues and Ideas, I'm Jordan Bell.